Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, you may know that at the end of this broadcast, we often encourage listeners to contact us with questions and with feedback and comments and so forth. And it is, in fact, a delight to hear from you. Every now and then, instead of just responding individually to a question, I ask permission from the person who's asked the question to please share their question on the air and to allow me then to share the answer with others, because their question is indicative of other people's questions or illustrating what other people are asking as well. So I'm today going to attempt to answer a question from one of our listeners. I've already talked with him about it on the phone, but I wanted to share it with others because other people I've heard across the years ask similar things. The question is this. My father recently passed away, this listener said, and everybody always says, you know, they're in a better place. Well, isn't it good to know they're in a better place? And we comfort ourselves with the fact they're in a better place. And he said, I don't think that my father's in a better place. And he said, and the reason I believe that is because I know that my dad was religious, but I know that when he was dying, he expressed to me that he did not feel prepared. And he said, at that time, I was not yet a Christian. I didn't really know the Lord. I hadn't been born again, and I wasn't able to help him. But he said, seeing my father, fearing death, he said, I'd never seen my dad scared like that before, and it really shook me up. And he said, so that started me on a journey to find out answers. How can a person be prepared to die? And the good news is that in the process of his search, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, now he knows the Lord, but he said, how do I tell my relatives that Dad is not in a better place? Well, folks, that's a very good question. That's a very powerful question. That is a serious subject and a very difficult thing. So I'm going to share with you what I shared with him. And that is, I wouldn't tell your relatives that he's not in a better place. Because, first of all, we don't know what might happen in a person's final moments, particularly if they've heard the gospel and cry out to the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting that there are other ways to heaven. Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And clearly, the scriptures, including the words of Jesus himself, rule out universalism. There are people who say, well, yeah, I believe Jesus is the only way, but I don't believe you have to be a Christian in order to benefit from what Jesus did. You could be a devout Buddhist, or you could be a devout Muslim, or you could be a devout Hindu. As long as you are trying to do the right thing, et cetera, then, you know, you can still be saved on the basis of what Jesus has done. Well, that is wishful thinking, folks. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the question is asked in Paul's letter to the Romans, how are they going to believe in one of whom they have not heard? You've got to hear in order to believe, and you have to believe in order to be saved. So clearly, the Bible teaches that there will be many who will be cast away from the presence of the Lord, cast into outer darkness, put into a place of torment. I mean, and that the torment rises up forever and ever. So clearly, the Bible does not allow for universalism, and it does not allow for just getting into heaven on the basis of sincerity. If I sincerely believe that I am a Bengal tiger, it doesn't make me a tiger, it makes me a psychotic. And so the fact that a person believes something strongly doesn't make it true and doesn't mean that they can be saved by it. Jesus is the only way to be saved, and you must believe in him in order to be saved. You don't have to have a theological education, but you do need to believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. If you put your trust in Jesus, you'll be saved. If your trust is in your belief system or your good deeds, you won't be saved. But then if I'm not going to tell my relatives that dad's not in a good place, what should I tell my relatives? Do I just keep silent? Do I just not say anything? And here's what I suggested. I said, I would tell your relatives that you are very grateful that your dad had the courage and the humility to confide in you the fact that he did not feel prepared to die, the fact that he was afraid of death, because that started you on your journey, and you need to tell them that. When dad shared this with me, it really shook me up, and it caused me to question, what do I believe, and how can a person be prepared? And then share with them how in your journey you came to believe in Jesus as the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins and conquered death, rising again on the third day, and is exalted to the right hand of the Father and is King of kings and Lord of lords, and you've put your trust in him. You share that with your relatives. Don't focus on the bad news about dad. Focus on the good news about Jesus. Now, if they ask you, so do you, are you saying dad's not in heaven? I would say, you know, that is between dad and God. I don't know what may have happened in dad's final moments, but I do know this. Whereas back when dad told me he was not prepared to die, and now I've come to know Jesus in a way that has changed my life. And now I know that I'm prepared to die, and I want you, whom I love, to be prepared as well, because all of us one day are going to have to face death. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so you can be prepared. This isn't about dad. We can't do anything about that. But I want you to know the peace that I have found in Jesus Christ. So, folks, that was the gist of our conversation in response to his question, and I hope for some of you that will be an encouragement. Again, we're not pretending that everybody goes to heaven, and we're not trying to run around telling everybody, hey, grandma didn't make it, dad isn't there, mom didn't go. What we are telling people is Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you trust in him, then you've passed from death to life. And if you are not trusting in Jesus, or if you're trying to trust in Jesus plus something else, then you're not saved, and you need to repent and put your trust in Jesus and in him alone. He's the only one who saves. He's the only one who can take away our sins. But Jesus has promised, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's word to us today. And that, folks, is really good news. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown.
I also received an email recently from an individual who said, I would love your thoughts on some spiritual issues and concepts that have come up during my time in New Zealand. The family I'm staying with is Christian, but all except the wife have relatively new faiths, and I'm not sure how sound the teaching is that the wife has received. That woman is very passionate about her faith, but some of what she says sounds a bit off to me. I know you've said in the past that we can email you to ask questions we may have, so I'm hoping you may be able to help me with some now. For a bit of background, this individual was raised Roman Catholic, turned away from her childhood faith as a youth. She subsequently came to faith in Jesus as an adult and is now part of a Pentecostal church. And almost daily, some deep theological concept will come up, and she seems to expect my input on it, says the writer. Some of these things I've not really had to consider before and don't have an answer for. I would really value your wisdom and insight into the Bible and greatly appreciate your thoughts on these issues. There are a lot of them, so I understand if you don't have time to comment on all of them. Here's the first one she asks about. Someone performing deliverance on a person, a specific person doing it for multiple people. In other words, are there some people who have a ministry of praying for folks and seeing them set free from demonic forces? The answer to that is yes, that is a reality within the body of Christ. It is associated with one of the manifestations of the Spirit described by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians called discernment of spirits. And sometimes the Lord may offer discernment regarding a spirit that is there, but not give direction at this time for that spirit to be cast out. But if you want an example of that, the Apostle Paul, who often cast demons out of people, was followed around by a demoniac slave girl for days before he finally turned and cast the demon out. So the fact that you believe there's demonic activity and the fact that God has given us authority over demons doesn't mean that every time you suspect demonic activity or, in fact, recognize clearly demonic activity, doesn't mean that you're to immediately cast the demon out of that person. That said, there are individuals who have been especially used by the Lord in bringing freedom from demonic forces to other individuals. And so when a person seems to be being used by the Lord in that regard, it's not surprising that others would go to them. There are some folks who have tremendous faith in the area of healing, some folks who have tremendous faith in the area of finances. There are other folks who are gifted in other ways, but it is not unscriptural or ungodly to look to a person for prayer. It's the Lord who does the healing. It's the Lord who brings deliverance, but some people have demonstrated great faith in that area, and the Lord often uses them in that way. The second question is related, and that is prayer healings, the idea of being able to go to a certain person and place and be healed. Now, if we mean by that that the place itself is the place that is somehow magical, like I've been in Eastern Europe, there was a place in Moldova where the people were told by the Eastern Orthodox Church, that if they would pay the money to go to the pool there where there was a spring and immerse themselves under the water repeatedly, they would be healed. And so it was heartbreaking to me to see folks coming from all around paying the church money to get to go take their sick loved one down into the water, or they themselves hobbling down into the water and immersing themselves in the water so that they could be healed. Water doesn't heal us. Jesus heals us. Well, what about Naaman in the Old Testament? It wasn't the water that he got in that brought healing. It was the Lord who brought healing, and he needed to be obedient to the Lord, but he didn't have to pay for it. That's not the way it works. Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. So when the church is charging money for you to go to a special place in order to try and receive healing, that does not line up with Scripture. But are there places where people have a ministry of prayer and God, in answer to prayer, provides healing? Yes, that definitely is the case. Has been in New Testament times, is today. Throughout history, there have been people who are blessed with faith in that area, and that's a ministry within the body of Christ. Nothing heretical about that. Now, are there some people who are fraudulent, who are manipulators, who are deceitful, and who pretend to have a ministry of deliverance or pretend to have a ministry of healing, and it's really just a bunch of psychological deceit and even sometimes demonic stuff? Yes, there are definitely frauds. But the reason why there's counterfeit currency out there is imitating the real thing. So yes, there are people who are used by God to bring deliverance from demons, and people who are used by God to pray for others and see healings. What about getting wisdom from dreams, visions, using a fleece, etc., as a regular occurrence? I would not recommend the use of a fleece, but in Bible times they did cast lots, and I think that's biblical. The only person who used a fleece was Gideon, and the reason he did it was not because he was a man of faith, it was because he was weak in faith. So I don't think it's sinful to ask the Lord to confirm what you believe he's telling you, but you want to be sure that you're hearing right. I think that's fine. I've not only seen that in Scripture, but I see that in history and in my own experience. And getting, as far as getting wisdom from a dream or a vision, you always want to check what you think you're getting that way against Scripture. If it's not biblical, it's not from God. God's never going to contradict himself. He does not lie. But sometimes we need specific direction. When I was living on Cape Cod years ago, we needed a house. And we had contacted realtors in the area, and I mean, it was just not happening. And so we prayed that God would provide us with a place time and again. And one night, my wife had a dream in which she saw a long, narrow, one-story house, and the floor plan was odd. And the strangest thing about the dream was that inside that house, you could look out in her dream, you could look out and see the ocean. And there was no way we could afford a house with an ocean view on Cape Cod. But anyway, that was what she saw in her dream. And she said to me the next day, I'm not saying that the house I saw was the house we're going to live in. I'm just saying that I felt like the Lord gave me that dream. And in the dream, as I walked through the house, I was filled with peace. And I woke up feeling that the Lord was saying he has a place for us. She told me all about the dream, told me how she'd felt this wonderful peace from the Lord that he was going to provide us with a place. A couple hours later, I got a phone call from a realtor who used the same exact phrasing to describe the house that she had found that she thought would work for us. We went to look at the house, and my wife wept as we walked through it because it was the house in her dream. It was exactly as she had described. It was what she'd seen in her dream. Does God do that kind of thing? Sure. Does he do it all the time? Well, whenever he pleases. The phrase that you use, this person who wrote to me, as a regular occurrence, no, I'd say that's not, at least for most of us, a regular occurrence. But does God still do that? Give us wisdom? Yes, he's spoken to me in dreams before. And clearly that's something that not only happened in Bible times, but God is still free to do today. This person says, I keep hearing people here talk about how they or someone supposedly very spiritual had a vision of something that's going to happen. While I'm sure things like that happen in the States, I don't really hear as much about it. Is it a cultural thing here in New Zealand? Like the people here respond better to those kinds of things? Or are people here just listening to God better? I don't know. I've never been to New Zealand. I'd love to come sometime. But I do know this. God is the same all over the world. People are the same, ultimately, all over the world. But sometimes God does do particular things in particular times and places. And so you may have walked into, my friend in New Zealand, you may have walked into a situation where God is up to some things, dealing with people in a way that is for their good. And if he's doing some extraordinary things where you're currently living in New Zealand, I would just say, thank you, Lord. But there, down through the ages, here in the United States, and over in Wales, and in Germany, and the Czech Republic, and in France, and down in South America, and in Central America, and in places in Africa, God has done amazing things. In China and other parts of Asia, God has done amazing, miraculous things at different times, in different ways, as God sees fit. So I would not say that it's regional or cultural. I would say that it may just be what God's up to in the part of New Zealand where you are right now. And God is free to do anything that he chooses. He will never violate his own character. He will never contradict his own word. But God does sometimes do special things as he sees fit for his glory and the good of his people. Another question here is, what about some people who claim that they have cured schizophrenia? There are lots of mentions of people who used to be into witchcraft. Is this sort of thing real? Well, God can do, again, what he chooses. People don't heal other people. People don't cure other people. God is able to heal, and God is able to cure not only physiological problems, but psychological problems as well. And schizophrenia is sometimes very well controlled by medication. But there are other folks who are diagnosed as schizophrenic when their problem is indeed a spiritual problem. And I have seen folks who responded wonderfully to prayer when the need was for a spiritual healing. What about generational sin, the idea that children suffer for the sins of their parents? Well, let me say this. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. That's what God told his people in the Old Testament was going to be the way going forward. But do people suffer as a result of things that were done before them? That happens all the time. A child growing up in the home of an alcoholic or a drug addict, a child growing up in a situation where they're sexually abused or violently treated, but I wouldn't call that generational sin. Are there family propensities towards certain problems? Very definitely. If you have a father who is an alcoholic, you are at much greater risk for alcoholism. But that doesn't mean you're bound to become an alcoholic or a substance abuser. If it comes to generational sin where God is punishing the children because of what their parents did, I don't believe that's the case. That is not what I see in His Word. So, we have to go. We're running out of time. Let me tell you, there are more questions in this email, and God willing, we'll tackle those on another occasion. Meanwhile, folks, get in the Word, believe what God says, trust and obey. God bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.